Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
The man, the myth, the legend himself, Bob Pompiani, KDKA TV, and of course the Pomp and Joe Show is on the line right now. How are you, Pomp?
I'm doing well, Chris. How are you today? Nice hot day for golf, even though I'm not golfing.
Well, Starkey is. I heard Starkey saying something like he was trying to beg off the show 30 minutes early so he could make his tee time on time.
Yeah, I don't think he did that, but he could have. He asked. I said, fine. So hopefully he had no trouble getting out there, and hopefully the weather cooperates.
Did you ever in your wildest dreams think that he would turn into a golfer?
No, at the first, no, absolutely not. He hated it with a passion, and then I brought some clubs over in one day. I said, why don't you just give it a try? And he kind of did, and now he's completely gone the other way, although now he comes in halftime, says, I'm done, I'm quitting. And then he changes for 30 minutes.
Two days ago, somebody told me in the 100-degree heat he was out there just hammering golf balls at the range. I had a Mulsey spy tell me that he was out there just constantly just beating balls at the range in weather that most people wouldn't even consider swinging a club. So he's completely got the sickness, Bob, and you know what that's all about.
Yeah, but I told him there's one thing you should do, and you probably would agree with this. He spent a lot of time with gadgets and gizmos. And I sometimes look on Instagram and I see all these people with these, like, all these devices that they're strapped to try to make their swing better. I think Joe sometimes can go there. I said, the best thing you do is don't think about that. Practice your swing when you practice. When you get out there, just will yourself. Believe in your swing. Trust your muscle memory, all that stuff. But I don't think he does that.
No, he does none of those things, as a matter of fact. Pomp, I'll hit you with the question that I just kind of pondered amongst my, you know, me and Donnie just kind of kicking it back and forth just now. Who do you think needs a good season? So I'll call a good season a playoff victory, since we haven't seen one in this town in a very long time for the Steelers. Who needs a season that ends in a playoff win more, Mike Tomlin or Aaron Rodgers?
And probably both. That's why they're both here right now, trying to get over that hump.
No fence sitting, Bob. No fence sitting.
Well, if I had to take it, it would obviously be Coach Tomlin. I just think he got to the point now where this has gone too long, especially for the Steelers and their expectations. They got to get in there and not only get in there and win. And, you know, despite all these quarterback changes and whatever, they somehow fought their way into playoffs. But now they got to win one in advance. And I think it's time for that, yes.
Do you think that if this goes just poorly, and I guess by poorly I would say they go 9-8 or 8-9, they don't even make the playoffs. I don't even want to say there's huge interpersonal drama, but it just doesn't work out with Rodgers the way everyone there, or at least Tomlin, anticipates. How do you think Art Rooney II is going to react to that? I think that would be a total of, if you count everybody starting with Trubisky, 6 quarterbacks they would have utilized in the last 4 years, and none of them ultimately working out. Like, what would Art Rooney II's reaction to that be, in your opinion?
I think, number one, disappointed, but I think he's, like a lot of the people in the organization, are kind of looking ahead to next year, knowing this is a one-year opportunity for Rodgers, and that's all it should be. And maybe that 1 year turns into something really good for them. They don't sacrifice seasons. I know a lot of people want them to do that at times, but they don't. They want to try and do their best. Now, next year will be doubly interesting because of the draft, and it's going to be amazing how many people will be in town and all the drama, and the Steelers could be the number one topic. As they have been most of this season, off season, with Rodgers and the search for him. So anytime you're dealing with quarterbacks, you know this, Chris. I mean, it's high intensity. People want to talk about it all the time, and they're going to be right in the bullseye. They're looking for potentially their next quarterback, even though they have, you know, Will Howard. We'll see how he advances through this season, probably not being able to play, but hopefully learning a lot. But they're still going to draft a quarterback, and how they manipulate themselves, even if there's, you know, they're 20th, 19th, something of that nature, they can move up. They have a lot of ammunition to do it. So I think Art will be patient, knowing that this next year will be the key year.
Do you think, on that end, do you think the failures that they've had with quarterbacks so far have shaken Art's faith in Mike's ability to identify the right player at that position at all?
Well, based on, you know, contract extension, I'd say no to that. I still think he believes what Mike Tomlin does. And somehow, some way, he'll make them a competitive team year in and year out. And I think ultimately, all teams would like to do that. The problem here is that once you get to that level, you have to do more. And it hasn't happened in a long time, so the next level is very important. But I think he's willing to see what happens. And next year will be the key year, I think, on deciding all of this. And whatever pick they make, whatever move they make to identify someone who could be their next franchise quarterback, because, you know, no matter how little you spend on your quarterback, and they have not spent a whole bunch of money the last several years, ultimately you're better off with a franchise quarterback that you don't mind spending a lot of money on, because you never have to worry about that position again.
Bob, I'll switch gears here, talking, of course, to Bob Pompeiani. You know that voice well, KDKA-TV, the legend himself.
Thank you, Chris.
I'll continue to give you the high-level reset and intro there. When it comes to Bob Nutting, how would you evaluate specifically the way he's gone about handling changes to his front office or a lack thereof in terms of how he's handled Ben Cherington, going back to last offseason, Derek Shelton, all of that stuff?
Well, I think I get the feeling at times that he's apprehensive to make moves and only will do so if it comes down to where he has no other choice. In this case, by moving on from Derek Shelton, I thought there was another choice to be made. I mean, for me, it's always going to be hand in hand, GM and coach, and I think, or manager. And I think even in the case of next year, if they decide that Ben Cherington may not be that guy, and I have a feeling they already figured out that he will be, but if he doesn't, then, you know, that leaves open a manager situation, because the new GM is going to want who he wants. It may be Donnie Kellen, may not be. But I think he would have been better off just making a sweeping change all throughout this, because it is 6 years into this whole process. And they really haven't solved a lot of their problems when it comes to offense at all. They can't do it. They have pitching. That's great, but you need more than pitching. You got to figure out ways to get just look at yesterday's schemes. Even though he didn't have his best stuff, he gets no offensive support while he was out there. And that's been the case largely with him and Keller and even Falter at times. So they haven't identified the people they need. And at some point, you got to make changes that way. And if they allow Ben Cherington to do this trade deadline, which they will, of course, it looks like, and that doesn't go well, then I wonder about this offseason. But he seems apprehensive to me.
I would agree with that, and I think his inaction has been his greatest sin as an owner, just not decisive whatsoever about how he wants to chart the course of this franchise. Do you think it'll ever fully click for O'Neill Cruz with the Pittsburgh Pirates, yes or no, and why or why?
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Why not?
I hope yes. I don't know the answer. We brought this up today when Joe and I were kicking around this topic about how about buying low on him. Would he be willing to accept a 7-year, $100 million contract? You know, there was a time I would have said automatically yes on that. Now I would say no. I would wait. I need to see more things. I haven't seen enough of him to make me think that he could be that guy. He has all the raw tools, all the raw potential, but we've seen that before. And we've also seen when you give people contracts that don't work out, they get stuck with a Ke'Bryan Hayes kind of deal, with Tabata, and you know, you make an educated guess that this guy can be the guy and should be the guy. He has all the talent to do it, but have you seen enough evidence to make you think that he will? I hope he changes. I hope that we see a lot more out of him in the next second half of the season, now that we're at the halfway season. We are at the halfway season, right?
Yeah, at a robust 32-50. Yeah, we're one game past the halfway point, and they're on pace for 99 losses. Just wonderful cause for Ben Cherington to keep his job.
What would you do with him?
I don't know. I would have benched him yesterday. I know that much.
Nah,
I would have
too.
Sat him down. I would have sat him down because I do think beyond just not even trying to run after the ground ball that went right under his glove is a bad look. I know he tried to hustle up to one yesterday when he missed that sinking liner, and so it got through to him. I didn't think Cruz sounded like a malcontent after the game where he actually was pulled and benched for the last couple innings. I think he sounds like a guy who's way too dejected when things don't go his way at the plate, and I think it seeps into the rest of his game. So I think, Bob, there's a considerable difference between a guy who's just lollygagging out there and a guy who lets failure weigh him down way too much and affect his focus and everything else. I would actually put Cruz in that second basket, whether I'm right or not. And so I would have given him two straight days off and tried to talk to him and tried to reset him at the plate, because I think if he's hitting well, you get everything else that you want out of him, the effort, the focus, all that other stuff.
Yeah, I would agree with that, and I thought the same thing you did after that. Yeah, I want him to be the answer out there. They need him to be the answer. They need somebody like that to be the answer. The other thing I think is that he overswings, and he's so, you know, we get caught up in this whole velocity game that everybody plays about, oh, man, exit velocity, look at this. It's all well and good, but he has enough bat speed where if he just tries to hit the ball without trying to hit a home run, I think you'll hit more home runs, and you'll also make more contact, and you'll do other things that can help the team. So he's got some work ahead of him, but I hope he's the answer out there, because if not, they're going to have another area where they're going to have to address.
Last one for you, Bob. I'm sure that you're not used to doing this, which is actually studying potential first-round picks in the NHL draft, because the Penguins never actually have their first-round pick. Now they have two back-to-back at 11 and 12. What do you want to see them do in terms of the type of player they're trying to find, defenseman, forward, whatever, with those two picks?
Yeah, well, that's good. You're right. I mean, I don't know enough about these guys. We're talking to Tyler Kennedy. He's in the same boat. I think a lot of people are just, you know, they know, they should know. In 11 and 12, there are some thoughts that people should maybe trade those, move on to try to move up higher. I don't think there are generational players in this draft, at least not the type that we're expecting to use with that name, generational player. So I would think they take those two picks, and I think they just try to find people who are good at playing 200-foot of hockey. You know, I don't know that you can peg one of them and say, okay, this guy's going to be a 30-goal scorer. Here's the comp. We look at him like we look at Mitch Marner, for example. Yeah, whatever. All I want to see are good hockey players who play. The Florida Panthers have a lot of those kind of players. You don't identify them necessarily, the Sam Bennett's, the Matthew Tkachuks, the Carter Verhaeghe, the guys who are going to.
Yeah.
They're not like guys you roll off your tongue when you hear about scorers, but they do everything right, and as a result, the scoring comes. So I want to see complete hockey players, young guys they can develop, and hopefully quickly, because they're going to need them.
Bob, we'll talk again soon. There are rumblings that I might end up being a participant in the makeup date for your big golf outing this coming Monday.
Well, that would be great. You'll have a good time for sure. We have a lot of things on that golf course which will keep you involved, even if we have a little backup because we have a lot of golfers. But believe me, we have vendors and stations and a lot of different things available, Chris. I think you'll have a good time. All for Partners for Quality.
All for a great cause on a great golf course, Chartiers Country Club. Thank you,
yes,
Bob.
Yes, sir. All right, see you, Chris.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.